All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another I Like You.
But You Are Wrong.
And this is Robert.
And Dean.
And we're here tonight. Well, Eastern time tonight. We got a new beer from Blackadder Brewing that's also here in Gainesville. We said we'd try and cover as many locals as possible. They don't bottle or can yet. So I had to get a growler of their Belgian Blonde. And let's...
It's not bad. It's really not bad.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. They did not have a wheat ale to compare to the two others that we've done, but...
So far I've lucked out. All three of these beers... I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I really wanted to get an IPA,
which
just
is,
to really mess with you.
I have,
or maybe a porter, and then both of us would be in trouble.
Good Lord, no!
Because neither of us drink that. But eventually, we will, just so that we both can suffer.
We're
together.
Looking very forward to trying three or four from each brewery and getting a little feedback from everybody and putting a little feedback out to you guys.
And this week, the episode might run long. We don't know. Really, the topic, we've discussed it previously on other issues that kind of connect to this.
Well, Robert's been out of town for a few days in Boston. We'll get to that trip shortly, but I actually texted him while he was on the trip over this because I just couldn't believe it happened, that this defensive tackle.
David Irving from the Dallas Cowboys.
Just quit because they were going to give him another suspension. And that would be, he's been suspended every year for three straight years for X amount of games for marijuana use. And he said he will not take the suspension. He is going to quit. And I'm sure all y'all heard it and read about it or actually watched it. He did it on Twitter.
No, Instagram.
Live.
It was live on Instagram. It was actually a lengthy, quick speech. It wasn't, I would say, a classy speech or anything. It wasn't well thought out. I get his point. I'm with
him.
But
did he do it while he was getting high?
Well, he showed. Yes, he did. He showed it. He said, I have this. I use this medicinally for myself. They want us to take opioids, medication.
I mean, I understand his point. As far as that goes, he didn't want to take pills. And then he, according to the article that I read, I didn't see the thing you watched, but I actually read the article. And in the article, he says, they're the only ones that punish you.
No,
that's
not true.
He kept referring back to the NHL.
Yeah, well, the NHL does not. NHL, and that's mainly because of where the NHL cities lie in addition to that. So... I actually looked it up because, you know, he did mention it. I really didn't know the rules of the NHL. I don't watch it. Neither does Dean. So we really
and
were
he brought up that
in
basketball too, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, basketball does. But there is a difference. So right now, I think his point is also that they're in the off season.
Correct. I agree. Robert and I talked about this earlier today at lunch. And we both agreed on one thing, which is rare for us to both agree. But if you've been suspended for 6, 8, 10 games, whatever, each year for 3 years in a row, and now you're coming out and making this video or whatever, he went about it the wrong way. He should have put together a protest, put together a package, put together the rules and say, hey, they do this in other leagues, in other sports, and been, you know, pushing for it with the NFL and with the union there.
Yeah. I think he could have done more than just quitting.
Correct.
On Instagram. I think I support his fight, so I wish that he could have done more with the resources he had at hand than reverting, you know, basically to just making a quitting speech
right
on Instagram.
I agree.
But I did.
I think that's just the young thing coming out. You know, he was upset. And like you say, it's off season. So that's just a rational decision that he just made quick.
Yeah. But I did research. So Canada, you know, became the largest country to legalize recreational marijuana.
Right.
And out of the 31 teams in the NHL, 28 play in states where players have access to legal marijuana, whether it's medical or recreational.
That's amazing.
That's 90%.
Wow. Exactly.
So, you know, you have that big scale of a professional league that really doesn't punish the players for doing this, and they are, you know, they're not sluggish.
No, they're very successful.
You know, I've never played hockey, but it looks hard.
It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they fight. They are encouraged to fight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So.
And but then, once again, it reverts back to they would rather them do that than take the pills that you get addicted to that all these ex-players are having trouble with now.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of retired players that are having trouble coming out of the league, transitioning both out of the game and then dealing with the pain of playing the game. In addition to basically the information on Canada, you know, I pulled up that out of the 123 teams professionally, so MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, 45 are in states that it is legal. And then another 56. So 45 is legal recreationally. 56 is legal in medical jurisdiction.
Right, right.
That's 82% total. You know, but yet we have NFL still has such a stringent policy.
It ended Ricky Williams' career.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it literally ended his career.
And in actuality, I pulled up the states that actually where – now, these are the states that have professional teams because there's actually more states that it is not legal at all.
Right.
But the states that have professional teams in these four different leagues is Indiana, Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. They are not legal – whether it's recreational,
doesn't matter either way.
Exactly.
I think eventually it's something that is going to come in the future. My personal opinion, I don't believe in it, but that's me personally. Now, when you hear these guys say, "Would you rather us smoke marijuana, or would you rather us pop pills and become addicts?" Because that's what happens to 75% of them. Yeah. But they're taking them during the season for pain.
Yeah.
They're wrapping them up, shooting with cortisone, popping a pill. And then, like you say, after their career is over, they still need those pills.
Mm-hmm.
You'd much rather them not be doing that.
Yeah.
And if all they're doing is getting high, then that's what they're doing, I guess. I don't agree with it, but I think it's the way of the future. And like Robert and I talked about today at lunch, I have ran numerous very large body shops all across the state of Florida. And I will tell you this, they, at 90% of them, do not even test for marijuana anymore. They don't even waste the money on it. They just test for hard drugs, and as long as you pass that part of the test, they hire you. No one tests for marijuana anymore, and it's been like that probably the last 10 years in my field, in the car industry. And I'm speaking for very large body shops.
Yeah. And, you know, that's really, you know, it'd be interesting maybe in like large, very large Fortune 500 automotive companies, they test for it.
I would like to know.
But, you know, we can look that up. But I will say that, you know, maybe they started out using just regularly recreational, but I think it actually becomes a medical, you know, for that line of work. Because if you've ever done prep work on a car, you know, for a number of hours in a day, you hurt at the end of the day.
Well, that's why most of my guys, by the time they hit 40, their knees were shot. And, you know, from being on your hands and knees and your hands, I mean, arthritis just tears these guys up.
Most of them can't open their hands completely.
That is correct, yeah. And, you know, for you people that don't know, the way it works is you write an estimate on a car, you get paid say, 3 hours to fix a dent. So you're making $15 an hour. So you get 3 hours to fix that dent. Well, if you fix it in two, you still get paid for three. Well, that's the whole object of the game. You know, turn all the hours you can turn. The problem is, as you get older and you can't get up and down and move as fast, in the old days, you worked 40-hour week and you turned 80 to 100 hours.
Yeah.
Now, you're working a 40-hour week to turn 40 or 50 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and, you know, to revert back to the testing, you know, and everything and testing positive, you know, I did look up what is it that their rules are or penalties. Well, the NFL does do one test during the off season. You have six, there's levels of violation. The first time you're just going to get, you know, in a program. And then there's various levels of fines and suspensions, with the sixth level being a 1 year banishment. So you have six times actually. That I didn't know that there were six times. I thought it was just three.
Yeah.
But then you have the NBA, who does not test during the off season, and that makes sense to me because I remember Jason Terry admitting that he smoked during the off season.
Oh my gosh, their season is so long.
Yeah, well, good, they're tired, Lord. You know.
You know what I'm saying? Good Lord.
And so the second one is a fine, you know, and then suspensions come on, you know, during that.
But it's obvious NFL is the hardest on.
Yeah, exactly. MLB does not at all.
Really?
MLB does not at all unless they feel that there is a problem. Then they will test you. So if they have means to test you, they will test you. This goes according to, you know, some actual, I've worked at jobs where that's in your contract.
Right.
They don't test you up front. They don't do random tests. But if there is, for some reason, something off.
Right.
And they want to test you for it, they can. They, you know, then the, you know, the fines or suspensions come from that. But they're more interested in the PEDs than they are.
Well, that's what, yeah. They're more concerned about steroid use, right?
That's their problem. Their problem is just the PEDs.
Absolutely.
And then the minor league, however, they are tested very frequently.
Yeah, I mean, we found out quite a few things about the minor league since we started doing this show, that they've been practicing and doing things down there that they do not do in the actual major league, like, say, the pitch clock, et cetera. They're already doing a lot of these things down there. It gives them the research and the knowledge before it becomes rules up in the actual major leagues, which is, I think, is a great idea.
Yeah. And, you know, that them doing so, they're very, very strict with their minor league players. And to me, you know, I go back to Irving's, you know, I understand his stance and I agree with him. But I also stand with that there are rules. It's just the same as even though I don't necessarily agree with steroid use, I agree with following the rules. That's not to say that I myself, if I weren't in his position, I would not risk using if I felt that was a better.
Right, and yeah. I've told you 100 times, you know, since I've met you, that back in the day I wouldn't get high because I was an athlete. I didn't want anything going into my lungs. Okay, and as far as drinking, it made me feel sluggish, so I didn't drink. So I was all about the game and playing baseball, okay? But like you're saying, I have seen these guys say it, and I look back now, 40 years later, and say, man, if somebody would have said, hey, if you take this, you can extend your career for another year or two or three.
Yeah.
I got to sit here and be honest and say I would probably have done it.
Yeah.
Because you're the love of the game, you want to keep playing. You know, so you'll do anything to keep playing. So that's why these guys are doing what they're doing.
Yeah, when I get invited to,
like you say, it's part of the culture of the game, and it's part of, you know, they're making a living doing this. So I think eventually, as much as I disagree with it, I truly think eventually they're going to have to come around and quit testing for that, because I'd much rather the guys do that than take the stuff they're taking now that's getting them addicted.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I know that there is a need for, you know, painkillers and
But like you said, you like the NBA. You like the NBA. Just, hey, you can't do it during the season. In the offseason, it's none of our business what you did.
Right. But but the NFL standpoint, and they did make a point to say that this may be on the collective bargaining agreement this coming
year. Oh, really?
But their point is that they'd rather do that than the painkillers during the season. Because,
I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
That's, you know, the recovery that they have to go
through.
Well,
and you and I have talked about this before.
17, what?
You're talking, you know, in the 70s. I took cortisone in a shoulder to play in a playoff game. I was told I couldn't play. And I could not lift my right arm. Man, I am right-handed. And I went to the doctor and said, I'll do whatever I have to do. See, here we go. I will do whatever
I have to.
And he took that 6-inch needle and jammed it in my shoulder, slid it back and forth, and I mean, I can't describe to you how bad it hurt. But a couple hours later, I felt like I could lift the weight of the world. I played a fantastic ball game, threw great, played great, everything. Now, the next day, I couldn't lift my arm to brush my teeth.
Yeah,
I literally could not.
And
so. I mean, you're talking the 70s, so I can't imagine what it's like now where they give you a pill. Like you say, you're going to want that pill every couple of days because you're playing so hard, so long. And like you say, these guys are making a living doing this.
Well, and the thing is, it's not just that this pill, you know, they talk about the negative effects of, you know, the cannabis, but, you know, these pills, you know, depending on, you know, which pill it is, you know, this may be, you know, working for one positive effect, but
it has
the
negative,
we have no idea. There's no immense study. This is like just
correct.
Like the concussions. It took
years
of evidence.
Men shilling themselves
yes.
and donating their brains so they could do research.
Yeah, so it took years. Look, I'm currently on medication, but there's really no study for a person that started that medication at 24, you know, going down the road. You know, if I hit 64...
It's going
to
create,
you know,
problems for you with your organs that you
don't
even know about
what that's doing.
Because most people aren't taking that medication until they're in their late 50s, 60s.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you just don't know.
And let's go a step farther. We know plenty of people that, you know, take a pill, you know, for depression.
Yeah.
And I know people that said, I want to get off this pill. So they just quit taking the pill. And when they quit taking the pill, they could not function for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So just imagine what that's really doing to you if you can't get up and walk to the car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. So there is need for medication, but we have to know what is
the
best
effects.
For each
absolutely.
Person is. I mean, each person
yeah.
is, you know, really different.
So I much like I say, much as I disagree with the whole drug thing, I think that would be a much better way to go than the way they're doing it now. I mean, these guys are actually committing suicide.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah,
not
and,
good.
And it's amazing that, you know, the states, you know, like the region that it's at, it's like almost the south, you know, east more or less, or just the south, you know, below the Mason-Dixon line is really the states that concentrate on the complete illegal aspect, you know. So we got like this, I feel like we got this footloose thing going on, you know, and it just, we're going to need... I think if we get Kevin Bacon to, you know, promote.
To go to bat for us.
Yes,
there
we need Kevin
go.
Bacon to
yeah.
go to bat for these athletes. That's
well,
what we need.
They're going to have to do something because
yeah.
it's getting out of control. And like I say, you know, just the suicides and the quick careers that are ending. I mean, look, Gronk is talking. He's been injured every year. And they're not horrible injuries, but he's been injured a couple times a year. For the last 5 years.
I couldn't imagine the pain. I've seen him take some hits. I'd still be down.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you saw
him
jammed pain.
His
shoulder into the ground during that
yeah.
Super Bowl game.
It's complete
you know?
Sacrifice.
I mean,
of,
it's just
your
amazing.
Body.
You have your whole body. So I can't imagine what these guys feel like the next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Speaking of feeling of your body, you know, getting off, you know, this subject, we could go on for hours on this particular subject, and we'll probably revert back to this. In later episodes, but my body in the cold of Boston.
Take the Southern boy from Hialeah and send him to Boston in the snow.
Yeah. I don't mind the cold, but why people live in the snow, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I was walking, so it was a Monday, it was snowing, you know, from like 12 a.m. to like 9 a.m. snowing. And I gear up, you know, I borrowed some, you know, clothes from, you know, friends and stuff. And then we have, you know,
rubber boots.
The rubber boots, everything. And then, you know, I go out and I'm walking. I walked 10 miles that day. And my Apple Watch kept asking me, "Are you working out?"
That's pretty bad.
I said, "No, I'm not working out.
I'm literally just walking."
Yeah, I'm just in the snow.
That is amazing.
So I don't know. I don't know how people do it. I was watching people dig their cars out of the snow.
I have the same issue. We used to go to Indiana 3 times a year. All my wife's family is up there. So in my younger days, I would go up there so I could go hunting with them and fishing with them and what have you. And my gosh, the last time that I actually went deer hunting with them, it was 10 below zero. And I was thinking to myself in that tree stand, I used to laugh when I would read magazines where it says this guy fell out of a tree stand and broke his leg. I'm like, how can you fall out of a tree stand? Yeah, that doesn't make it makes logical sense. Let me tell you, after the first 30 minutes, you have no feeling from the knees down. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to fall out of this tree.
Yeah.
So I took my belt off. I very rarely tell this story. Hooked the belt through a loop and then hooked it around the branch of the tree.
Yeah.
I said, at least I won't fall all the way down.
Yeah.
And I'll just skin myself up, because after an hour, I can't tell you how cold I was. I kept thinking, if a deer walks up and gets underneath me, right under the tree, the only way I'm going to kill him is to fall out of the tree on him, because I'm too cold to pull this bull back. It's not going to happen. It's literally not. And then you talk about walking in it. I couldn't wait that morning for my nephew to get there and say, okay, let's get out of here. Let's go somewhere where there's food. I'm buying breakfast, where there's heat. Let's go. He gets here and goes, oh, well, we got to get my deer. I was like, oh my God, you got a deer? So we have to walk 3 miles in. If you've never been to Indiana, it's like Alaska. It's just,
I don't think it's like Alaska. It's probably Alaska before things. It's
shrubs and trees, and you're going through thorn bushes. And then here's this deer. And I'm like, wow, this is huge. He's already gutted the deer. Then I'm like, now wait a minute. We have to trek this thing back 4 miles to where the truck is. Oh, it, like you're talking about, if you've never walked through snow, in the woods, in the bushes, toting a 250-pound deer, I just got to tell you, by the time we got the truck, I said, this is why I don't live here. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, it wasn't my first time in the snow. I had been, you know, in New York and New Jersey. I remember one year I went up and 15 inches fell. And I walked actually in that snow, you know, and it was the most exhausting thing I've ever done.
It's very difficult to walk in.
I was very young. Now, this one, Boston does a great job. By the time I was out the door, I mean, everybody was just moving around. The plow had already come through, you know, scooping up the snow. And then the hotel had their own bobcat, you know, just doing the whole sidewalk and everything.
Oh, my God.
I mean, everybody was just getting going.
Folks, why I live in Florida.
Yeah,
just telling you. I know it's beautiful. I love to watch it on TV, and I love to visit. But that's why I live in Florida.
Yeah, I will tell you, the trip was – I loved the trip. I love the American Revolution history. You know, they're trying to do a lot with also researching as much African-American history in it, because a lot of that information was lost during the time. So there is a tour that they do. I think I missed it because I didn't go in February. So they had done like a special tour. But they are always updating their tours and, you know, information. But that was all great. The history
was
great.
But the thing is, though, you got to go when baseball season.
Yeah, I did
pass
by.
Gotta go to Green Monster, buddy.
I passed by Fenway. I did do that. I walked there, obviously. walked everywhere, you know, but the food was really great, you know.
He kept sending me pictures of food.
Oh, man.
I'm a fat guy on a diet, and he's sending me pictures of
bagels.
Food. That
bagels.
I'm like, wait a minute,
I'm not
allowed to have carbs, and you're getting homemade bagels every morning.
Oh, man. Everywhere they made their own bagels. Everywhere. They bake their bagels. Like, every place just does their own, and they were each. So I thought, oh, this is the best bagel I've ever had. Then I went to another place. This is the best bagel I've ever had. Then I went to another place. This is the best bagel I've ever had.
Over
I was like,
and
I
over
couldn't,
again.
I couldn't just pick one. I will give a shout out to Democracy Brewing. They're a new brewing company up there. I passed by there. The beers were great. The food was awesome.
The pictures of it were amazing.
Man, I had fish and chips. I was eating the fish out of the breading because the cod in it was just ridiculous. I mean, it tasted just like it came out of the water, you know, right out the back.
Like they caught it and served it to you.
Yeah, they make some bagel pizzas and not like bagel bite pizzas. I'm talking about like they make their own bagels, they make their own cheese. They're doing everything, you know, from scratch.
Now, folks, you know that we don't agree on everything, and of course we don't watch a lot of the same things. You know, Robbie's into working out, watching his weight, etc., lifting weights, lifting to podcasts from bodybuilders, yada yada yada. Anyway, when anything like that's on TV, he stops and watches it, and I go to my room and turn on the Hallmark Channel or ESPN. But he watches Strongest Man stuff, you know, where they're pulling trains.
Yeah,
and
that happened while
look,
I was up there.
They're carrying rocks.
I was so excited.
See, you hear this?
Yeah.
I turned the channel.
Nobody gives these guys any credit. Like, you know, we're all watching, you know, we're talking here about the NFL, the MLB, the NBA. I mean, who cares about these guys? These other guys, all right, are doing the unthinkable. All right, the Rogue Fitness, who does the fitness equipment, they let out a challenge this year for the Arnold Strongman Classic. $50,000 to the man that can deadlift 1103. And nobody got it. But they came close. Thor won the whole thing. And some of you may know him as the Mountain from Game of Thrones. But he came to 1045. Now, someone has lifted 1103. That is the record.
Right.
Not at the Arnold.
Right. But, and what you explained to me is to do that lift, you have to train for that lift. And you expected it not to happen because you said if they train for that, it's going to not be able to train for the entire show.
Exactly.
Correct?
I remember, you know, so if you all ever get a chance to watch Eddie Hall's documentary on Netflix, that's the person that holds the 1103 record. And his two goals, he had two goals, which was win strongman, you know, and beat the deadlifting record. So he actually trained the deadlift a lot harder than other guys. You know, so you have to really commit to, you know,
but
doing something.
But you also said that a guy who finished like sixth or eighth would have finished better, but he went for it on the first day.
No, he didn't go for it. So what happened was, so he went, I think he got 1021. That was Brian Shaw. That's the American,
uh-huh.
One of the Americans. And then when he went for a heavier weight, you know, just the tweak, the main thing that a lot of times it messes up on a deadlift is your hamstring because you're basically pulling it. So he tweaked it on that. And then from that moment, that was the first event. He just couldn't recuperate.
And what, it's like 3 or 4 days long, right?
It's like 3 days long,
right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't the same for the next 2 days.
No, because, I mean, everything, you know, the strongman events just require your whole body.
Right.
So you need your whole body. After the deadlift on day one, the second event right after that, you know, 1,000-pound deadlift, you know, they had to do the, and I can't pronounce the name, I'm sorry, but the heifer stone. I'm gonna call it the heifer stone. It's not the heifer stone. It's something like that. It's an Icelandic name. It weighs 410 pounds.
It's a giant rock.
It's a giant rock. And they have to carry it around a pin. And so whoever can carry it the farthest, that was the challenge. and
one guy just kept going like it was no big deal, like he was carrying a sack of potatoes. You know, he showed me a video of it. I said, "Look at this guy."
That was Thor,
dude.
That
he just Thor. He just walking like it was no big deal, yeah. Man. Oh, let me move this over here. You know.
Yeah, they replicated it because that is actually a very historic challenge in Iceland.
Right, right.
And then they added this new event at the Arnold Strongman, which was called the Conan Wheel of Pain.
Which, if you remember from the movie, and
the great movie. It was a great movie.
Oh, my gosh.
He just doesn't say, he said movie. It's a great movie.
No, it's Arnold. You can't understand a word he says. Once again, I like you, but boy, are you wrong.
No, this is a great Lord. Movie. If you
and
have
then,
a chance.
Then he gave me a stunned look when I said, wait a minute, you know, that was stolen from another movie. He goes, what are you talking about? And I said, back in the 60s, they made the movie Samson. And that's what they did with Victor Mature was down there. And he was pushing that around in a circle.
Yeah. So this was a 20,000-pound, like,
wheel.
Contraption.
Yeah, it looks like
that
wheels.
They had to push. So, that was exciting. So, you know.
No, I like you,
chance,
but you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that wasn't exciting. I would have kept going on the channel changer, folks.
This shows you how much, you know, human beings can push themselves.
It's pretty amazing what they can do.
Yeah.
You know.
And Ray Williams, also in the Arnold Classic, but the powerlifting, he squatted 1080.
Now, the one thing that I liked about the whole thing was Arnold was there, and he took a bunch of pictures with the young man.
Yes,
you got to hear this story. What does he have?
Cerebral palsy.
Okay, and how old is he? A teenager?
No, I think he's in actually his 20s.
Anyway, this kid can deadlift twice.
Yeah, he's 25, Miles Taylor. Cerebral palsy, but deadlifted twice his weight.
Twice his weight, folks. And it showed him and Arnold got so excited, you thought he did something.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And all the weightlifters were just going crazy. It was a big, big deal. And, you know, it was really a nice moment on the video. So if you get a chance to look that up, you'll really enjoy seeing that video.
Yeah, his name is Miles Taylor. And you could also look up his training videos. He does a lot of videos his coach does where, you know, he's deadlifting, you know, with cerebral palsy.
It's just amazing.
So it's amazing that
absolutely
do that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then, but you were talking about the Conan movie. Went and took my daughter to see Captain Marvel. I wanted to mention that. I took her yesterday to see it. Great movie. Oh, it was so awesome. And my
and
daughter
remember,
had
she's
a great,
four.
She
came
great
through
time.
The door. Grandpa, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really great. Very fun. A lot of girl power.
Yeah, I don't know what the reviews are. I read an article that they didn't think it was going to do as well as the other ones because this was more for, I guess, the girls. But everybody that I've talked to has just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I would,
you're a fan, so was it good?
It's a definitely, you could see it again.
Wow.
It's just really great.
And
great,
you know, guys,
story.
We mentioned we're going to start having some guests on the show this month, and we will towards the end of the month. One of them is going to be my son. He is an owner-operator of a Chick-fil-A. So we're looking forward to having Justin on the show because he's going to give you some real insight that a lot of people don't know about with that company. And why they do not like being called a fast food restaurant. He will go into detail with you. If you want to upset him, call a fast food restaurant.
Well, I'll try and convince him to get some beef in the whole menu. I don't know this whole
Robbie said the first time
thing,
he ever had it, he goes through
so
the drive-thru and he goes, somebody had brought him some of the fries. So he said, those are the best waffle fries I ever had. So he said, a few days later, he sees a Chick-fil-A in Miami, so he just gets in the line because, you know, he wants some more of those fries.
Yeah, that's great.
So he's going to get a burger and some fries.
Looking for burgers.
He asks the lady, she goes, we don't do burgers. You got to have one burger.
And it's like, oh, it's Chick-fil-A, but I don't, And the thing is, that argument doesn't even make sense to me because every burger place has a chicken sandwich.
So we'll let Justin address this more this month when we have him on the show. And we're looking forward to it because you're going to get a real inside view of how the operation actually runs. And like I say, that's just one of quite a few people. We're in the process of getting two or three more and getting their times in and set up with us to have them on the show. And we hope you guys keep listening and enjoy it.
Yeah, and please send us comments if you can on whether you want the show to run shorter, longer. If Dean's talking too much, let me know.
If you want me to drop Robbie as my sidekick and do this solo, I feel he's holding me back. So we have no problem with that. And we will be putting up a web page and, what is it, I guess Twitter. It's not a bird. I thought Twitter was a bird, but I guess it's
Twitter is a bird.
Yeah, but there's the Twitter on your phone or something.
Yeah, it's a bird. What are you talking about?
You know, we're going to have to get on some type of social media.
Okay. What does that have to do with a bird?
Isn't Twitter part of that?
Well, Twitter, the logo of Twitter is a bird.
On your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. You see how I feel about social media. Okay. Yes.
All right. So now that we have the social media taken care of.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back as soon as possible.
We hope you enjoyed it, and please remember, I'm Dean.
And I'm Robert.
And this is...
I like you,
but you're wrong.